Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, October 9, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Well, on Thursday, a full day of baseball, and we knew going in some teams would be sent home for the winter, and that happened. We start out with the Marlins and Braves series, the first game that began on Thursday. Kyle Wright on the mound for the Braves, Sixto Sanchez on the mound for the Marlins. Travis d'Arnaud, who's been so good in this postseason, got a big hit in the top of the third.
The 0-2 to d'Arnaud, and he hits this one to deep right center field. Back goes both outfielders. It goes off the wall. Freddie Freeman, he's going to come around to score. Ozuna on his tail. He's in, and Travis d'Arnaud does it again. Off the fence in right center field. Two RBIs, 3-0 Braves. And d'Arnaud's been dynamite.
That was Carl Ravitch on ESPN Radio. In the top of the fifth inning, Dansby Swanson tacked on.
The 1-1 to Swanson. He got jammed, a little bleeder towards center field. And now the right fielder comes over. Birdie catches it. Here comes d'Arnaud. Here's the throw. He scores easy. Not a good arm in right field. The Braves manufacture a run with a couple of sacrifices. It's 4-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, Taylor, I don't know if you know this, but Dansby Swanson went to Vanderbilt.
Ooh, look at that nugget coming in early. I bet no one knows that, Buster.
Well, and you know who else went to Vanderbilt? Kyle Wright, who started for the Braves yesterday, and he was great. Six innings, 3 hits, no runs, 7 strikeouts. After he left, the Braves bullpen continued to do what it's been doing this entire postseason. This was the call in the bottom of the ninth.
1-1. That ball is hammered to right field. Pache is there to make the catch. And for the 12th time, the Atlanta Braves advance to the league championship series. And the first time since 2001, they shut out the Miami Marlins and have 4 shutouts in 5 postseason games.
Think about this for the Braves pitching in this postseason. 49 innings, just 30 hits allowed, 5 earned runs in 49 innings, 1 home run, 9 walks, 59 strikeouts, which is why Freddie Freeman was talking about the pitching after the game.
What they've done, the pitching staff, and we knew we had a good bullpen, and you know, it's not just good, it's great. Absolutely incredible. You only give up 5 runs in the first 5 games. Every guy that comes through that gate in the outfield, you just have the utmost confidence in every single one of them to shut down an inning.
Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, talked about the potential of his team.
Last year, I think we all felt like we had a team to go deeper into the playoffs. I know we felt like that this year. And, you know, we've checked off another box, like I just told the guys. And I'm excited about getting to go to Arlington. This series here, what them guys did on the mound was just, I'm almost mind-blowing. And I was glad, you know, this was a perfect day to come out and score some runs. Kyle did a fabulous job in his first postseason start. He hadn't been out there in a while, and so it's I think the guys in that room are pretty confident that we have a pretty good club and a chance to do something special.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly was asked, does losing to the Braves add more disappointment?
I think it's disappointing no matter who you play. You know, they're the team that we're trying to climb. I mean, and a lot of teams in our division are trying to climb. They've won the last 3, so you know, you have to measure yourself with them and where they're at, and we have to be able to beat that club. So, I mean, I think it'd be disappointing in any scenario that you lose. It is disappointing in any scenario that you lose. But I think they let us know where we're at, right? As far as, you know, we feel like we've gotten closer, but they let you know exactly where you're at right now.
The Astros and the A's, and just hour before this game, with Houston leading the series 2-1, Dusty Baker announced that Zach Greinke would get the ball for Houston in this game. And in the top of the second inning, it wasn't looking too good.
3-2 pitch. Swing at a high fly ball. That is jacked deep to left. Tucker turning to watch. He'll keep on watching. It is gone. Laureano, yesterday he did it with an inspirational speech. Today, he lets the bat do the talking. A 3-run homer, 3-0 Oakland.
Dave O'Brien on ESPN Radio. But you know what? The Astros came back. Michael Brantley leading the way.
And here comes the 3-1 pitch from Montas. There's a swing, and that one stroked. It is deep to right. Backing up. It's gone. Home run. Bradley with a two-run shot. And the Astros strike back with a bomb of their own. That makes it a 3-2 lead for Oakland.
And the Houston rally was not over.
2-1 swing and a high fly ball. This one way back to left. Forget about it. It's gone. Deep into the stands. Carlos Correa strikes again. Boy, the Houston Astros, when they come back, they come back. They have now taken a 5-3 lead on a three-run bomb.
And then Michael Brantley did it again in the bottom of the fifth.
The pitch coming. Swing and a high fly ball. It jumps to right. That one's deep. Can it back at the wall and kiss that one goodbye. And that's a record for a division series. It's also another Houston Astro blast. And they take a 6-4 lead. Brantley with his second of the day. And write it down. That is 23 home runs. 23 in this series.
And the Astros are going to win this game and close out the series with an 11-6 victory. Zach Greinke was asked after the game, what does this mean for your resume?
I don't know. Right now, I'm just excited we get to see our family and don't have to live locked up in a hotel any longer.
Carlos Correa was asked, did you use people not wanting you here as motivation?
We're motivated because we want to win. We want to be able to bring another championship to the city of Houston. We know what it feels like, so we want to be able to have that feeling once again. 2017 was such a special year celebrating with the fans in Houston. So, you know, the thing that motivates us is get to feel that again and be able to win another championship. So, you know, we're one step closer. We got two great teams waiting for us in San Diego, and the Yankees and the Rays. Whoever wins, you know, we're going to be watching closely, and we're going to get ready to compete.
Astros manager Dusty Baker talked about his team.
You know, I think that they closed the circle and, you know, got into each other. And, you know, it made them closer. They're already a close-knit group of guys. But, you know, we had a very formidable opponent here. You know, you got to give, you know, the A's credit because they never quit.
The Yankees and the Rays, game four of their series. The Yankees coming into this one under a lot of pressure. Jordan Montgomery started for the Yankees, and you know what? He was pretty good, and he got help from Luke Voit.
1-0, and a slider swung on and hit a long way to left field. Voit thinks he got it, and he is right. He hit it up into the second deck, and he had a good look at that one before he started rounding the bases, and the Yankees have a 1-0 lead.
Dan Shulman on ESPN Radio. Gleyber Torres got a big hit in the bottom of the sixth.
Here's Gleyber Torres, who lifts a high fly ball down the left field line. Will it stay fair? Yes, it will. A two-run homer, I believe, into one of the decks of the Western Metal Supply Company down the left field line. Gleyber Torres makes it 4-1 Yankees.
In the late innings, Aaron Boone called on Zach Britton and then on Aroldis Chapman, who was on the mound in the ninth inning.
Another 3-2 pitch, and he got him. 100 up above the belt. Chapman finishes it off, and the Yankees win 5-1 to force what should be some kind of ball game tomorrow night.
Jordan Montgomery threw four innings, and he talked about his approach coming into the game.
Pitching with the lead is definitely more comfortable than not. But I knew my job was out there to just go as deep as I could and get a little bit of depth. I knew the bats were going to come around tonight.
Yankees manager Aaron Boone talked about Montgomery.
It was a big-time outing. You know, we just needed him to give us a little bit. Obviously, having not gone to the mound in a couple weeks, was hopeful he could get through two times through the lineup, but anything he could have given us there early, you know, we were going to take. He goes out and has a really clean first inning and then does a great job, you know, getting out of two jams.
And he talked about his Game 5 starter, Gerrit Cole, who will work on short rest, 3 days rest, first time in his professional career against Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, who will be pitching on 2 days rest.
You know, I think for him, I'm sure it was always in his mind, and for me it was certainly in my mind, but it wasn't something that we really talked about until today, because first things first is seeing how he bounces back and seeing how he responds in the days after. And then, you know, when he walked in today and got off the bus and walked past my office, I just said, hey, and he's just give me the ball. So he's ready to go, and I know looking forward to it.
Gerrit Cole talked about how he's prepped to start on short rest.
I've spoken to a few guys that have done it before, and it's not something that's probably sustainable for the whole season, but it's certainly, you know, certainly the human body is capable of doing it. You know, we saw the Brewers ride CC very hard, that majestical run, and we pushed Justin Verlander out there on short rest last year, and he pitched on short rest a few times before, and I think so is Greinke and so is Dallas, some of those guys that I talked to about it, and it just kind of, it is what it is. You gotta go out and do your job.
Luke Voit talked about why this team plays well with their backs to the wall.
We're just a bunch of, like caged animals. We want to do everything we can. You know, we got a lot of grit on this team. And, you know, we knew this was going to be a crazy and, you know, suspenseful series. And we're up for the challenge, and no matter what happens.
Yeah, and he basically said they're going to win Game 5 tonight. Dodgers and Padres, the Dodgers took care of business. Justin Turner giving the Dodgers a lead in the top of the third.
Stammen fires. Swing and a line drive. That's a base hit into left field. Bam over there to pick it up. And around third and on his way to the plate, coming in to score is Seager. It's an RBI single, and Turner delivers the big knock. It is 3-2 Dodgers.
Boog Sciambi on ESPN Radio. The Padres had no answers for Will Smith.
The pitch. Swing and a line drive. That's a base hit into center field. Betts comes in to score. And the throw comes to third, sliding in safely is Seager, an RBI single for Will Smith, and the Dodgers now lead it 7-2.
On their way to a 12-3 victory, and they close out that series, they will be facing the Atlanta Braves. One other note that came out yesterday, Major League Baseball's free agents qualifying offer will jump to $18.9 million. It was $17.8 million last year. In the days ahead, we'll be talking more about the ramifications for that. Before we get to Michael Kay of the YES Network and ESPN New York and Todd Radom with the weekly quiz, check out the latest episode of the Mina Kimes Show. Mina and Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network discuss Washington turning to Kyle Allen, Bill O'Brien's firing in Houston, the start of Joe Burrow's career, and which team is the best in the NFC East. Plus the second installment of Who Caught Your Eye. Download and subscribe to the Mina Kimes Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Michael Kay is a play-by-play man for the Yankees on the YES Network, and of course you hear him every day at 3 p.m. Eastern on 98.7 ESPN New York. Michael, Yankees win last night, so for tonight, Gerrit Cole on the mound, short rest, what's on the line, how do you think he'll handle it?
Well, I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed by the moment. You know, just being around this guy virtually this whole year, he just seems like he gets it. He seems like he embraces the challenge. You know, you don't go to the Yankees unless you expect moments like this. So I think he's going to be fine. Now, I don't know how his stuff is going to be. I don't know if he knows how his stuff is going to be. He's never pitched with 3 days rest before, so that'll be interesting. But the guy he's going against has 2 days rest, so we'll see.
I got to tell you, you know, I was there in the first day of spring training when Gerrit spoke, and we've seen, you and I have seen this guy brought in so many times before, the guy who's going to be a Yankees ace or the Yankees star he answered the questions better than anybody that I've seen in terms of just as the question was being asked about the pressure of being the Yankee ace, about the contract. He immediately got the biggest grin on his face in spring training, like, yeah, that's why I came here. I absolutely love this. Last week, before he was matched up against Shane Bieber, I saw the same reaction. Like, he's just having fun with it.
It's almost a case buster where, you know, when people ask me about him, I go, it almost seems like it's too good to be true. Like, if you could draw up a Yankee pitcher who's going to get a lot of money and have a lot of responsibility, you would probably draw up this guy. He just gets it. I know that's, you know, kind of a cloudy term, but if you're around him, you see that he understands the moment. He loves to talk pitching. He'll dissect a game pitch by pitch with you if you want. And I think that he was made for New York. This is one of those, you know, fairy tale stories where this kid dreamed as a kid. I mean, we all seen that sign of being a Yankee. And, well, he's a Yankee right now. And this is his first chance at a Yankee moment. And, you know, this is how you make memories. This is how you become part of forever in the Yankee universe.
Now, he and Aaron Boone have become good friends. During the shutdown, they were playing catch because they live near each other. How much crap could he rescue Aaron Boone from over the next year?
I think he could rescue the entire Yankee organization from the debacle of Game 2, the decisions they made with starting Davey Garcia and taking him out after one inning. That, to me, is still a head-scratcher. And, you know, it's still going to have some ramifications going into the next into the next series if they win, Buster. Think about it. So you might have been able to avoid a Game 5. And then, obviously, Gerrit Cole would have started Game 1 and would have started 5 or 6 after that. But if the Yankees do advance against the Astros, the series starts on Sunday. The best-case scenario, he's starting Game 4. So how exactly is he going to pitch another game unless they pitch him again on short rest? So it puts them behind the eight ball because of what happened in Game 2. If they had been able to win that and then, you know, won Game 4 the way they did last night, then we wouldn't be looking at this. But this whole postseason poses a unique situation with no days off in the first three rounds. And I like it personally because I think it really exposes what a team is during the regular season. If you had days off during these playoffs, you can get through with three starters. Well, you can't do that anymore. You have to at least four and then push one of your big starters to a short start like tonight. So I like it. It's a real test.
And the Rays, of course, facing the exact same challenge. Tyler Glasnow told reporters he didn't find out till after last game that he's starting tonight on 2 days rest. You saw him the other day. He's an absolute beast, you know, 6'6", 6'7", tremendous athlete, tremendous stuff. Just haven't gotten to know him through the years personally. Look, if he went out and threw great tonight, it wouldn't surprise me because he loves to pitch. He has fun. He reminds me of Trevor Bauer and that it feels like he could throw all day. And on the other hand, if he was erratic, that wouldn't surprise me either. What do you expect out of him based on what you saw the other day?
I'm really surprised. I mean, the guy has had some arm issues in the past. He's so valuable to this team because he's an under-control starter. They made a great deal with the Pirates where they fleeced the Pirates and gave the Pirates Archer. You know, we do a post-game on the YES Network, and Buck Showalter was on with me when it was announced that Glasnow would start. And not much surprises Buck, and he was a little shocked. He really was. So I don't think you're going to get a lot out of Glasnow. Not in terms of effectiveness, Buster. I think they're looking to get two innings out of him, and I think they might piggyback him with Snell, which was a guy I thought was going to start anyway. The way yesterday's game worked out, though, each team is locked and loaded with their high-leverage relievers. The Yankees really lucked out because they got a lot of length out of Green and Britton, and none of them threw more than 24 pitches. So they're ready to roll. And the way that Kevin Cash managed it, he used all of his lower-leverage guys, like Sleggers came in at the end. And the bottom line is he's got all of his hard throwers available as well. So I don't think they're really expecting that much out of Glasnow. Maybe they're trying to, you know, okey-doke the Yankees, like the Yankees tried in Game 2. And maybe the Yankees will send up, you know, they'll have Gardner in the lineup, and then all of a sudden, you know, you'll have to face Snell and maybe flip some of the people in the lineup. So we'll see. But I don't think that you're going to be looking at Glasnow giving them five innings. I don't think they'd push it to that point.
Now, I was getting text messages during last night's game. Folks from other teams were saying that they thought that Aaron Boone did a good job in handling Jordan Montgomery. You know, he had said before the game that he was going to be aggressive with his bullpen management. But he really wasn't. Like, he went out and let Jordan Montgomery do his thing. He didn't panic.
He didn't panic. I thought Aaron Boone managed a really, really good game yesterday. And I think that everything played off of Jordan Montgomery. The way Jordan Montgomery pitched yesterday, to me, was a bit surprising. He had not pitched in 2 weeks. The previous time he had faced the Rays under a modicum of pressure because it followed the Brasseau-Chapman incident. He really got hammered. You know, he didn't even get out of the first inning, two-thirds of an inning, two home runs. So I didn't know what to expect, but he showed a toughness and a resilience and a grittiness. And, you know, those four innings were everything to the Yankees, because I think one of the weaknesses on this Yankee team, and why I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get to the 13 wins to win a championship, is their bullpen's not nearly as deep as it's been over the last 10 years. You know, the loss of Tommy Kahnle is really a blow to them. Right now they have three relievers they trust. After that, it's a crapshoot. Who's going to do well on a day-to-day basis? That's hard for a manager to have. So by Montgomery giving them four, that allowed them to bring in Green early, and he worked very, very quickly and efficiently and effectively. And it looked like Britton could have pitched all night. And then I think it was smart to get in Chapman when he did, because Chapman hasn't pitched in forever. So if Chapman pitches tonight, I think you're going to see prime and elite Chapman as well. So I like the way this game sets up for both teams. I think it's going to be a bullpen game, and we'll see how it goes. I'm not sure how many innings that to expect out of Gerrit Cole. I think in their best case scenario, it would be six. But if he could give them five, I think they've got enough to cover the final four innings.
Give me a key position player on each team. First, the Rays, then the Yankees.
I will tell you that for the Yankees, I thought Higashioka was really, really key yesterday. I mean, there was a sequence of pitches where, you know, it looked like Montgomery was playing bounce ball. That's how amazing Higashioka was, and no disrespect meant whatsoever to Gary Sanchez, but he has trouble with those pitches. Those same pitches, runners on second and third, they might both score if those same pitches are thrown in the dirt. So I think Higashioka is going to be big. Obviously, he's in simpatico with Montgomery with Gerrit Cole. So I think those two work too well together. And he also, you know, he could surprise you with his bat on the other side, and we haven't seen much of him, and he's such a good player, Buster. You know, Brandon Lau has to break out. He's so important to what they do, and we have not seen what he does during the regular season during these four games. And you know, Joey Wendell's done a good job and all that, but not Brandon Lau. Brandon Lau has been held down by the Yankees. So if the Rays win, I think their bullpen's going to have to step up, and I think that Lau's going to have to have a Brandon Lau sort of game.
A couple more for you. The Astros move on. What's your sense of how folks with other teams are feeling about their success?
I don't think anybody likes it. It's funny, though. In retrospect, Jim Crane may be the right hire with Dusty Baker, because it's almost impossible to hate anything that Dusty Baker's involved with. So I don't think they like the fact that the Astros are actually doing well, but everybody seems to be very happy that Dusty Baker is doing well. So it's kind of a crisis of confidence. But they're the beneficiary of the expanded playoffs. But I also get the sense if it was 162 games, they might have persevered as well. Their lineup is so good. I just don't know how they're doing with their pitching.
Well, and also no fans in the stands, and they're not getting hammered.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, you know, my sense is that there are two distinct feelings. One, you know, people still are angry at them, and they feel like that their success in 2017 was directly related to the cheating. And they feel like that the group of position players have not really shown enough remorse or understood what other people have been upset about. And on the other hand, I hear a lot of grudging respect, like George Springer's a good player and Jose Altuve is a good player. Carlos Correa is a good player. And it's almost like people feel like, you know what, why didn't those guys have enough confidence just to go out and play?
That's what they're proving right now, that maybe they didn't need it, which makes doing it even more curious. But, you know, what Correa said after the first round series that they won, you know, what are people going to say now? They're going to say you cheated in 2017. I mean, no matter what happens now, it was proven that you cheated back then. But, you know, for Major League Baseball, Buster, I'll tell you why. If the Yankees win tonight and then it's the Yankees and the Astros get by the Yankees, or the Yankees beat the Astros and the Dodgers are waiting on the other side, it couldn't line up any better in a very, very strange year. Those are sexy, attractive, you know, electrifying kind of matchups. So that will get the attention of the casual fan in America as well.
Last one for you. Which team should concern the Yankees more, Dodgers or Braves?
I think the Dodger lineup is scary, and I think their pitching is really, really effective as well. The Yankees have seen the Braves. I think the Yankees can handle the Braves. Anything could happen in a short series, but the Dodgers are really, really good, and that would be a wonderful matchup for baseball, and I think that's what everybody thought was going to happen before 2020 went off the rails.
All right, Michael, thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thank you, Buster. Nice talking with you.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world, or you can go to his website, ToddRadom.com. And Todd, recently your work has involved a hockey book. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, Buster, we talk baseball wall to wall, 365, 24/7 here, but sometimes, you know, you get tired of steak and you want to have a piece of poultry or something like that. So yes, I have a new book coming out on November 3rd. Quite a day to launch a book. It is called Fabric of the Game. It is the stories behind the teams, the names, and the looks of every franchise in the history of the National Hockey League. And that includes the Montreal Wanderers, who played a handful of games in 1917. It's been a three-year project, and I co-wrote it with my buddy Chris Creamer from sportslogos.net. And we're looking forward to seeing it come into the world November 3rd.
November 3rd. Yeah, you said that's a big day. I'm trying to remember. You know, I know the baseball season is over. Is that the day that teams have the deadline to offer arbitration by, or, you know, qualifying offers or something like that?
I believe it's all about the publication of Fabric of the Game. I think that is the day.
Yeah, November 3rd, of course, is the actual election, and elections all over the country. All right. So before we get to this week's quiz, I want to ask you, you know, it's well established on the podcast that you are a Red Sox fan. The Houston Astros and the Red Sox have their history from 2017, from 2018, and the Astros now back in the American League Championship Series. How are you feeling about watching that as a baseball fan?
Buster, I think of those maps that you see right before the Super Bowl with every state filled in with a different color of who they are rooting for. And over the last 20 years or whatever, when it comes to the Patriots, you only see like a little pocket of New England with a Patriots logo. This is what the Astros are like, the polarizing evil villains of our postseason. So, you know, I'm going to say, like so many other people, boy, you know, this is not a good development. But on the other hand, I look at two things. I say I am very happy for Dusty Baker. Class act, guy who people around the game know, love, and respect. And I say to myself, we root for storylines, and every great plot has a villain. So here we are.
I want to ask you about this. Who, you know, whatever the American League Championship Series is comprised of, Astros against either the Yankees or Rays, which team should those clubs fear more, the Dodgers or the Atlanta Braves?
It is a good question, and it is a question that will soon be answered, of course, Buster. But so a couple of things. You know, you go back and forth, and we do look to history every week when we discuss things here, right? Whatever that history is. I look at the Braves and the pitching juggernaut that they seem to be right now, and I'm somewhat reminded of the 2005 White Sox, who rode those starters right through the Houston Astros then in the National League, right to a four-game sweep in the World Series. And, of course, this is a very different era. And you look at the Dodgers seemingly poised to win now, just as they have been for some time. And I believe it was Pat Riley who always talked about how some teams, regardless of sport, need to make this climb and get over a hump before they can win the whole thing. So, you know, you look at what the Braves are doing, no disrespect at all to either the Marlins or the Reds, but I have a feeling it's the Dodgers. They are just so deep, ready to go. I have a feeling that, you know, Mookie Betts seems to have put them potentially over the top. It's going to be fun, whatever it is.
I tell you what, and, you know, part of the reason why I think everyone looks at the Dodgers as being the prohibitive favorites is because knuckleheads like me all year have been talking about them as being the best team in baseball. But watching the Braves, man, that is a good team. A deep lineup. The bullpen is much better than people realize. In fact, I think if you were to line up the four teams now, you could make a real argument that they're as good or better than the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen, which is saying something. And if their rotation continues to be as effective, you know, with Max Fried and Ian Anderson and Vanderbilt guy Kyle Wright, you know, pitching like he did yesterday, that is a dangerous team. I'm going to go into the weekend kind of on the fence on the question that I just asked you, but I think it's closer than what people realize. And I feel like the Braves, the baseball world right now is sleeping on the Braves a little bit. All right, let's get to this week's quiz.
All right, guys, here we go. This franchise has won more games than any other. Ever. 11,194 all-time victories. Is it A, the Cardinals, B, those Braves, C, the Yankees, or D, the Giants? Won more games than any other. Over 11,000 all-time. Cardinals, Braves, Yankees, Giants.
Man. Taylor, what you got?
Let's go with the Yankees. All those championships. We got a game five today. I'm leaning Yanks.
Yeah, I just get the feeling I'm going to be wrong with this one. I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Atlanta Braves.
You're both wrong because it is the Giants.
Mm. Yeah, that was my second choice.
And Taylor, just to, you know, the curveball in here, the Yankees have only existed since 1903, whereas the Giants date back to their days as the New York Gothams in the 1880s.
Wow.
So they had a little bit of a head start.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. All right, Todd, thanks for doing this. Good to talk with you. We'll talk about the ballpark in Buffalo next week.
Sounds good, guys. It's going to be a great continuation of the postseason. Thanks.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Friday. First up, we got Jakey Jake at JakeYRS79. He writes in more a comment than anything. Jose Altuve hit 219 this season. Jake Diekman gave you one home run all season. I hate baseball. Sorry, Jakey Jake.
Yeah, that's what happens in baseball. There's so many examples in the postseason of those unexpected heroes jumping up. Altuve has a lot longer resume. Jake Diekman had a great regular season, but you know what? Yesterday didn't play out that way.
Bummer. P.K. Steinberg is up next. In general, did the Marlins overachieve or did the Phillies underachieve? Small sample size or, hey, it's 2020 being 2020. What do you think there?
P.K., I'll play along. If you give me a choice between those two, I'm going to say the Marlins overachieved because of their context, because they had that early breakout and all the doubleheaders they had to play. I didn't think of the Phillies being a great team. You know, some maybe a little bit above 500 when we started the season, even back in spring training. I thought they had some challenges. The idea that the Marlins made the playoffs after that breakout, that's pretty impressive.
Next up, Jake Yergs writes in, I don't get the whole Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher on the planet talk. Cole doesn't lead a single pitching category in 2020 and doesn't even crack the top five in WAR. WAR, ERA, hits per nine, strikeouts per nine, or win probability. He's not even the best pitcher in New York. What do you think about that one?
You know, Jake, I and Taylor, you'll back me up on this. The guy we've been talking about is the best pitcher on the planet has been Shane Bieber. Like, yeah. I thought last year Gerrit Cole was the best pitcher on the planet. He basically didn't lose from, like, May until the end of October last year. And he was phenomenal. And I thought this year Shane Bieber kind of took that mantle. And Cole beat him last week. But I haven't actually said that phrase in relation to Gerrit Cole this year. What do you think, Taylor?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we talked about Shane Bieber ad nauseum all year. So he was clearly the best pitcher in baseball.
No doubt about it. I think maybe Cole is second here because of his postseason success. And, you know, if he wins tonight, I think that locks him up in that second spot. But yeah, Shane Bieber got to be the best pitcher on the planet right now. I don't know who Jake is listening to. It's certainly not us. Next up, we got Mike Godzwa writing in. Any chatter among players, front offices about the Astros in the playoffs? He asks this question, feel like their ability to play shows the ineffective punishment for those on the field.
I mentioned to Michael that the part of this that I'll never understand is why the Astros didn't feel like they were good enough without doing this. Why did they not have confidence that they could win without that? And why, for example, did they feel like they needed to add Roberto Osuna? I actually, as I talked about with Michael, I have heard a lot of grudging respect for individual Astros and how good they are.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets for today. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Please subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Enjoy Game 5 tonight and enjoy the start of the ALCS starts on Sunday. Does the NL start then as well?
Monday?
Okay, yep. Great.
That's it for today. My thanks to Michael Kay, to Todd Radom, Taylor Schwenk. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe over the weekend. And remember, hate and inequality based on race is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.